If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, dini, wal-azam, ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We are going to talk about the rules of Hajj, in fact, according to Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
SubhanAllah.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, as always, our guest speaker in the studio. Sheikh Javid, since we are talking about the jurisprudential rules and Islamic laws on, Hajj and the pilgrimage to Mecca, the house of God, and we talked about several issues regarding Hajj, and the typology of Hajj,
as well,
can a person perform two umrahs in the same month?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I should clarify the term umrah for our audience because many people might not understand what umrah actually is. Umrah is the recommended Hajj.
Mm-hmm.
That not the obligatory one, because we should separate or we should distinguish between the obligatory Hajj, which is called Hajjatul Islam or Hajjat Tamattu, and then of course Hajj Qiran and Hajj Ifrad. Those three types of Hajj are there, but of course Hajjatul Islam, the obligatory Hajj, begins with Umrah, but Umrah is part of the Hajjatul Islam in that case.
Yes.
And they should be done together in the same month, in the same, year, at least. And then when it comes to recommended Umrah, because Umrah in and of itself is recommended. For example, if you want to perform Umrah in the month of Rajab or Sha'ban or Ramadan, which most people do, of course.
Yes.
It remains to be recommended.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the question that you just asked, it was whether it is permissible to perform two umrahs in the same year, because the more, for example, many people might think that the more umrah you perform, and the more sawab you will gain.
Yes.
Is that the case? Of course, it's not the case. According to Ayatollah Khamenei, of course, it is not permissible to perform two umrahs in the same week, in the same month.
Or in the same year?
In the same year, of course, you can do it. But if you are doing Umrah on different months, Now, for example, you want to perform one Umrah in the month of Zilhajjah and another Umrah in the month of Zilqa'dah. And then Ramadan and Sha'ban, Shawwal.
Yes.
These are different months in which you can perform Umrah.
Yes.
If you want to perform one Umrah in different months for yourself, you should do so. It's permissible. But if you want to perform two umrahs in the same month, you can do it on behalf of different people. Now, if you want to perform five umrahs, one umrah on your behalf, for yourself, another on behalf of your father, another on behalf of your mother, and of course, you cannot perform one umrah on behalf of, let's say, a group of people, One umrah can be performed on behalf of one individual.
I see.
At a time.
Mm-hmm.
At a time. So you can perform different umrahs, many umrahs in the same month or in the same week, but on behalf of different people. Now your father, your mother, and your siblings are there. You can perform umrah on their behalf in the same month, and there's no problem in repeating the umrah.
But they cannot do this with their own intention. Like, for example, they can't do it for the sake of other people, only for themselves.
You cannot do it for yourself, I said. But you can
only.
But you can perform umrahs and many and repeat it.
As a proxy for others.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I see.
For different people.
Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. For your nice answers up until now in this part of the program. Let's take a short break, and we'll be back with more questions about Hajj in this program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Stay with us. La ilaha illallah,
Allahu Akbar. The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and newly asked questions.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are still talking about the jurisprudential rules of Hajj according to Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, you know, Hajj Tamattu includes two acts.
Sure.
As you know better than me, the Umrah Tamattu and Hajj Tamattu, right?
Yes.
Umrah Tamattu is prior to Hajj Tamattu. Right?
Yes.
And both of these, in fact, acts have a specific deeds and rituals that, you know, need to be observed, of course, which are discussed in their respective places.
Sure.
But I want to ask you this question that, you know, what are the special deeds and acts or rituals that need to be done for Umrah Tamattu?
That's a good question. The first thing that we need to do for Umrah Tamattu is to wear ihram.
Mm-hmm.
And ihram is the hajj dress, special hajj dress from which you wear at a miqat or at a station.
Yes.
And ihram is obligatory for men only, you know. They need to change their dress. They cannot wear the regular stitched and woven clothes, you know.
Yes.
Men should wear two pieces of clothes, white, preferably white. You know, it's not necessary to wear white, actually.
Uh-huh.
It's good to wear white, but it should not be stitched, okay? It's stitched
yes.
together with a needle or something like that.
So it needs to be two pieces.
Yeah, two
not
pieces.
One piece.
Not one piece, okay? Because there should be one piece, you will put it on your shoulder. It will cover your belly, your stomach, okay? And the other one will be wear as, you know, you call it izar, something like that. You will tie it around your waist.
Yes.
And to cover your legs. And so wearing ihram is the first thing that one should do. And of course, it's not only wearing ihram, but you should make niyyah, you should recite the talbiyah. And it should be wear the dress, the hajj clothing should be worn at a miqat, not anywhere out of miqat. Of course, there are people. Now, one thing I would like to bring to your notice and also to the notice of those people who listen to us
mm-hmm.
is that many Shia Muslims who live in a predominantly Sunni populated country or society are under the impression of the Sunni culture and Sunni beliefs and thought system, okay?
Yes.
They tend to believe that they can wear ihram from the airport or while they are on board a plane,
mm-hmm.
okay? Or they can wear ihram from their houses. That's not the case.
Right.
It is absolutely forbidden to wear ihram from your home or from the airport or from anywhere else other than miqat. Miqat is the place appointed and fixed for wearing ihram,
yes.
okay? So we should consider that. And those Shia Muslims who still believe that miqat can be worn at any place, that's not true. Of course, if you want to wear miqat by way of nazr, okay? If you just say, okay, walillahi alayya an uhrim, for example, or this is from Allah upon me to wear ihram from Jeddah airport.
Mm-hmm.
If you make a nazr, of course, you can do it. You
mm-hmm.
can wear ihram from the airport by way of nazr. It's a kind of pledge, it's a kind of vow that you make it your obligatory upon yourself.
Right.
Okay. If there's no such thing, if there's no nadr, okay, you should go straight to the miqat and perform and wear the ihram from that station. Now, this is number one, okay, wearing ihram. The second obligatory deed is to perform tawaf around the Holy Kaaba.
Mm-hmm.
After you wear the ihram and you move on towards the Mecca, you will enter the city of Mecca. You will go straight to the house of Allah, and there you will perform the tawaf, which is called circumambulation of the house of God. You will move and walk around the house, the Kaaba, you know, anti-clockwise.
Yes.
Seven times, beginning from the black stone, from Hajar al-Aswad, and finishing the seventh round, at the same point. And of course, there are certain requirements, conditions which must be fulfilled. Mm-hmm. So we are just giving a short, cursory, or an outline of what we are supposed to do there. And then after performing the tawaf, we should perform the prayer of tawaf. Prayer of tawaf is part of the tawaf.
Yes.
And they cannot be separated. After you complete the tawaf, you should move out of the crowded place and leave the space and go somewhere to perform the prayer. It's better to perform the tawaf within the Maqam Ibrahim and the Kaaba. If that's not possible, okay, you can move out and offer your prayer at a place where prayer is easy and possible. And then we have Sa'i. Of course, Sa'i means to walk between the mountains of Safa and Marwa. So
it's Safa a kind of jogging.
It's a kind of jogging. You walk briskly.
Yes.
And again, you will have to walk back and forth, seven times.
Right.
And then the final thing that you should do is taqsir. Taqsir means to cut a small quantity of your hair or nail, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. You are not going to clean shave yourself or your head. It's better that you leave your hair for the Hajjatul Tamattu, because you will have to do the main Hajj.
Yes.
Hajjatul Islam.
Okay.
Yeah, on the 10th day of Zilhajjah, you will have to perform the halq.
Yes.
Halq means shaving.
Mm-hmm, I see.
So these are the five obligatory deeds or acts of Umrah At-Tamattu which must be performed and which must be learned properly and done properly.
Okay. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. For your nice answers to these questions around Hajj, according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. And thank you, my dear audience, for listening to this program. Until then, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
الظاهر والباطن